Hello and welcome to Teen Health Matters. This podcast and associated website is a project of the Howard County Health Department and is designed to connect you, your friends, your parents, and the people who care about you to the resources you need to stay safe, healthy, and happy. My name is Emma Schreier and I'm an intern with the Bureau of Behavioral Health at the Health Department. I graduated from Hammond High School in 2018 and currently study public health at Tulane University, New Orleans, Louisiana. Today we will be talking about mental health and the transition to college. I'm joined by my friends Katie and Simon, who both just finished up their freshman year of college, as well as Dr. David Turpak, Associate Director of Career Services at Howard Community College. Thank you all for joining us today. Simon and Katie, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourselves?
Hi, my name is Simon Guteng Jr. I'm 19 years old. I graduated from Hammond High School in 2019, and I'm currently attending University of Maryland, Baltimore County, majoring in biochemical engineering.
Hi everyone, I'm Katie. I'm 19 years old and I also graduated with Simon and Emma from Hammond High School. I now just finished up my first year at University of Maryland College Park, and I'm majoring in government and politics with a concentration in international relations as well as theater and working on a disability studies minor.
Great. Thank you so much, Katie and Simon, for speaking with us today. Dr. Turpak, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at HCC?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me today. My name is Dave Turpak. I work at Howard Community College in the Counseling and Career Services Department. My title is Associate Director of Career Services, and I'm trained as a licensed psychologist, and we're a blended personal counseling center and career center. So we really help students with their mental health as well as helping them figure out their own career path as well.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Turpak. We're so excited to hear from you. Today, we're focusing on the transition to college and mental health, which is especially important this year as COVID-19 will fundamentally change the traditional freshman experience. I want to share some statistics from Active Minds, a national organization that supports mental health awareness and education for students. 50% of cases of mental health issues begin by age 14. 75% begin by age 24. 39% of students in college experience a significant mental health issue, and two-thirds of students with anxiety or depression don't seek treatment. Finally, a recent Active Minds survey found that 80% of college students say that COVID-19 has negatively impacted their mental health. The transition to college can be overwhelming. We have to say goodbye to our support networks in high school, learn how to navigate a new institution, for some students move away from home, and experience new social environments. Dr. Turpak, what are some of the most common issues that your students struggle with during their first year of college?
Absolutely, Emma. And just as you mentioned, it's such an interesting time of transition for everyone. So really, this is an interesting time of a new independence, new accountability for students. Oftentimes, we see students, having difficulty and challenges with relationship issues, whether that might be, a partner relationship, if you live on campus somewhere, possibly roommate interaction. But a lot of what we see is adjustment to college, new routine, balancing school, family, mental health, physical health, spiritual health. And in addition to that, some presenting issues as well, like anxiety and depression as well. And as I mentioned before, on top of that, sometimes even choosing a major, choosing a career. So these are some of the most common presenting issues that we see within particularly that first year of college.
Yeah, I can really identify with a lot of those issues, like balancing your mental and physical health, and then like trying to figure out what you want to do with your life. It's definitely an overwhelming time. Simon and Katie, what was your overall experience with mental health during your freshman year?
So I think that while I had a overall good first semester and first year of college, my mental health was definitely impacted negatively by my first semester. I think I went into college thinking that I would have the perfect first semester and be the perfect student, roommate, and balance my time, health, and activities perfectly. But that certainly was not the case at all. I put far too much onto my plate, leaving little time and energy to allow myself to just transition. I took 18 credits and joined a string quartet and a dance team, which are large time commitments. And the high-stress school environment, along with the activities that I overcommitted to, as well as just the pressure to perform coming from myself and external sources, really took a toll on my mental state and led me to be very miserable throughout a lot of my first semester. Going into spring semester, I reflected on the things that I could have done better my first semester and the things that I really should have done, and I began to implement them. So I gave myself time and left room for transition by not putting too much on my plate. I was vocal about my struggles and I was aggressive about getting the help I needed.
Thanks for sharing, Simon. That's it's great that you were able to change your experience and, you know, actively protect your mental health. Katie, what was your experience like?
Sure. So in contrast to Simon, I was very scared to go into my first year of college. I had a hard time at the end of my, you know, high school experience mentally. So I sort of expected and planned for tough times in college. So I really worked with my therapist over the summer to plan out a way to, you know, have a support system in college as I'm on campus on my own. I was really worried about snowballing and sort of becoming very lonely and letting, you know, anxiety really take over with time management, just all the different factors that come into the college experience. So I was really worried that I was just going to not be okay on my own for the first time. But because I sort of expected that, and because I really worked hard to plan and have some systems in place for when I kind of saw myself snowballing, I ended up having a really successful first year. And, you know, when I did catch myself sort of having a tough time, I knew, you know, what to do. I was prepared. And that sort of prevented me from snowballing like I was so afraid of. So I ended up having a really positive mental health experience for first semester and first year.
That's great. I'm so glad that you were able to, you know, plan beforehand. And it's really important, I think, you know, now more than ever, that we go into college aware with, you know, realistic expectations and aware of what we might need to do once we get there. Now I want to talk about some of the resources that you guys plugged into once we get to college or get to campus. Dr. Sherpak, what are some resources at HCC that students can connect to support their mental health?
That's a great question. Thank you for asking that, Emma. One of the main resources that we have on campus for students' mental health is our counseling center. As I mentioned earlier, we have a blended personal counseling center and career center. And actually, the way we're set up at Howard Community College when we are on site is we're situated with a variety of other resources, disability support, academic support. So if a student were to come into our center, they can really get connected in a lot of different ways. But specific to mental health, we offer individual counseling for free for students who are currently enrolled in credit classes at the college. And we have up to 12 sessions per year. So that's a great resource for students. We also offer group counseling. And I know so many times students might be cautious or wary of joining a group and thinking, you know, I don't want to put myself out there, or I'm struggling with anxiety. Why would I want to talk about this with other people? And in fact, that's actually one of the best ways to treat relationships, to treat anxiety. So we have groups, we have a variety of different groups, and they're very, very effective. We also do a variety of different outreach throughout the year, whether that be, you know, alcohol screening, sleep hygiene, anxiety, depression. We do a lot just to, you know, reach out to students to A, let them know that we're available to help them, but B, just to check in with them. And if they notice any differences, to connect with a staff member so that they, you know, sometimes feel more comfortable then to make that connection. We also partner a lot with the Wellness Center that we have on campus. So that's just another great resource. And throughout the year, there's a variety of different opportunities for activities. One of our staff members, Dr. Joy Stevens, leads a Koru mindfulness group as well. So there's a lot that's available at the college to help students with their mental health.
Those sound like great resources. I, Tulane, I'm a peer health educator, so I work with our health and wellness center a lot. I know we have tons of like fun programs, tons of free stuff, all kinds of fun stuff that students can connect to support their mental health. Simon and Katie, what resources did you guys tap into during your freshman year?
UMBC has a lot of great resources that students can take advantage of. And I think three of my favorite are the University Health Services Counseling Center. They offer both individual and group sessions that students can attend for free. I think another one is the Stress Buster events that we have. Parent organizations come together and have fun nights with games and music for students to go to just to de-stress and maybe do work or whatever they want to do. There's also a mind spa area, or there's two now on campus where you can go, and there's yoga balls and there's music and calm. It's just a really calm area to go to and do homework and get things done. So those are three of my favorite.
Great. Katie, what about you?
So just like Simon and Dr. Turpak were talking about, UMD has a lot of similar services. So we have the counseling services where you get 8 sessions with a counselor, and then you get a referral to an outside clinician if they evaluate. And also we have unlimited group therapy. I know a lot of friends took advantage of that their first year, and it was very successful for them just to, you know, have a place, a safe place to just talk about what's going on in their lives. We also have like a crisis hotline care for sexual assault and domestic violence and issues like that. And so that is a really great resource on campus for those sort of issues that are prevalent in some college campuses, and a crisis hotline for just 24 hours for anything that you need with a counselor. Another hotline that we have is the Help Center. So that's like a completely peer run group just to support mental health and overall wellness. So they have resources on their website. I have a friend who, you know, is a peer counselor there, and he really loves what he does and the ability for peers to support peers in college, because we all struggle with different things, but there's a lot of similarities in what we go through as well. And that's also Active Minds, is what you talked about earlier, Emma. Just another peer student organization that promotes overall mental wellness. I remember going to like one of their fairs last year, and it was just really great to just talk about it. You know, we made stress balls. It was a great time. So, but some resources that I used personally throughout my first year was, so I used telehealth. I still kept my therapist from my high school time. So I would, you know, video chat her whenever I needed, and that worked out really well for me. Just to, you know, hold me accountable and also be able to communicate with someone from home, making sure that we're still on track with our plan. And I also, with my therapist, we applied to ADS at UMD, which was the Accessibility and Disability Services. And that really helped me. I applied on the basis of OCD and ADHD for my classes, but I know they offer a variety of accommodations for different students and different conditions that they might have. So I really recommend looking into that if students think that they might be eligible. That's really helped me just communicate with my professors in what I needed at the beginning of the semester, and allowed me to be successful in my classes, which was something that I was really worried about. So that was a great resource for me to use.
Those are all, you shared so many great resources, you know, peer support, the disability services, telehealth is super important right now. I'm sure a lot of us are utilizing telehealth and we haven't before. And Simon and Dr. Trebek as well, you know, HCC, UMBC, UMB, they all have great resources. And I'm sure that your school does too, if you're an incoming freshman. So as you all spoke to, there's tons of resources available to you on college campuses, and you really should take advantage of them because you're paying for them either way. I now want to talk about self-care. It took me a long time to develop healthy habits in college without the structure of high school. Dr. Trebek, what strategies can first-year students use to practice self-care during this transition?
Self-care, such an important topic, as you mentioned, right? So, you know, we want to first think about our basic needs, right? So how are we taking care of our sleep? Sometimes our schedules might be different. Maybe we have a lot more what we might consider free time, even though we need to study. So a lot of that is really time management, planning, building a schedule that's going to work for you so that you're successful. And then also being mindful of other areas, eating healthy, right? So maybe parents aren't making food for you as much. So it's like, well, now you're the one in control of, you know, what am I going to either make or what am I going to order? So just, you know, being mindful of that. Exercise, very important, you know, walk, running. I know, Emma, we talked a little bit about, you know, running and how important that is in a previous meeting. But just, you know, some other areas that can be helpful is mindfulness, certainly very important, you know, being aware and present in the moment, working on not judging ourselves and our actions and the actions of others can really be beneficial for our mental health, and really staying connected to family, to friends, and trying to make new friends as well in the process is a really important step of, you know, just making sure that you're taking care of yourself mentally. And when you feel like some of that's out of balance, you know, having the courage to reach out for help is very important, because working with a counselor can kind of help you assess, you know, what you're doing, what's different. That way you can kind of work on a plan together to make some improvements.
Those are all great strategies. It's so important to, you know, cover all the dimensions of wellness, but also to, you know, acknowledge that when you need help, you know, you deserve help, and it's great to reach out. Katie and Simon, what self-care strategies did you use during your freshman year?
I think a great self-care strategy and just principle to incorporate is building your toolbox of mental and social support that also helps you find ways to cope with stress. Whether that be friend groups and therapy, mentors, a religious community, or just communities you find on campus, I think it's really important to have a variety of access points to regulate your mental and physical health. Another one are extracurriculars. as long as you're not taking too many or enrolling in too many, because I definitely did that my first semester. They're really good and really help you to find ways to de-stress. Exercise is also a really good one because it keeps your endorphins up and your motivation strong. And I think one that I really want to stress is being aggressive about getting your sleep, whether that means planning ahead to get your work done so that you can be in bed on time, or even having a sleep accountability partner that helps you get to bed on time. It's just super important because in college, you need sleep. As much as you don't think you do, you need it. So yeah.
Those are great strategies. It's super important to, you know, get your sleep schedule down. I know in high school, I did not sleep and I thought that I was super tough for not sleeping. But once I got to college, I realized I can't walk around like a zombie anymore. I need to, you know, enjoy when I'm awake. Katie, what social care strategies worked for you?
Sure. So I think first, seeking out the help that we all mentioned above was really important, just so I knew that I had support when I wasn't feeling too well. Another thing that really worked for me was limiting my activities. So going off of what Simon said, you know, not being engaged in too many extracurriculars, even though there's so much that college has to offer. And I knew that I was going to be like super, you know, wanting to join everything that I saw at the fair at the beginning of the year. But I made a deal with my therapist that we would do like two activities my first semester so that we would really focus on the transition and prioritize just like having a good lifestyle before committing to too many things, because it's just your first semester, you know, it's just, you know, that's your time to really focus on taking care of yourself and adjusting to all the new things that you're dealing with. So the two activities that I decided to join were like also focused on my overall wellness. So I joined CHARGE, which is this, you know, overall female mental and physical wellness group. So we would like work out twice a week, but we also had this atmosphere where we were sort of talking about how we were doing, like, I'm not really feeling great about my body today, or like, I'm having a tough mental week. So that was a really great community for me to just, you know, feel safe, surrounded by a group of women and really taking care of ourselves. And that also led me into yoga, which, like Dr. Turfak was talking about, like really helped with my mindfulness. And also, I think an important thing is having a safe environment on campus or, you know, in your college community. Mine was the Catholic Student Center, and I knew that I could go to that building, you know, and just, I don't know, cry, you know, feel safe, you know, if I was going having a tough time, sort of my refuge within like the big college that UMD is. And I guess the last thing was really focusing on balancing student life and academic life. It is a factor in some colleges, you know, going out, and, you know, some people use that as a coping strategy. Some use like alcohol or drugs as like, you know, they cope in that way. And I think it was really important for me to find a balance between, you know, being safe, going out and having fun, but also just like prioritizing my overall wellness first. And there are also, you know, everyone has a choice, you know, in what they do in their student weekend life, but I'm also part of like this Terps After Dark activity organization that my school offers for alternatives for going out. And so that's a great way to still just stay involved in your community and engaged while also, you know, ensuring that you're being safe while doing it.
You brought up so many great points. I'm glad you touched on going out, because that is a big part of the freshman experience for a lot of people. You know, the first time we're exposed to heavy drinking, I guess, and it's great to, you know, acknowledge it. And also, there are a lot of campus resources surrounding safer drinking strategies and resources if you need help around substance use. So it's great to be mindful of that. For me, my favorite self-care strategy, well, first, I'm glad we talked about joining campus organizations. I did the same thing. I joined a bunch my freshman year, and I decided I don't really like any of these. I'm not super involved, so I decided to quit all of them and start again. So don't be afraid to say no, to quit. But then my sophomore year, I joined running club because I really like to run, as Dr. Pack mentioned, but it's hard to hold yourself accountable. So I joined a club where I can, you know, talk to people and also get exercise for stress relief. And I have some accountability partners Simon was mentioning. So now I want to talk about college during COVID-19. Most schools are adopting a mix of online and limited in-person classes. But even for students living on campuses, college is going to be very different. Dr. Turpak, what advice would you give to incoming first-year students who will be taking classes online and socializing virtually to protect their mental health?
So this is certainly a time unlike any other and really interesting. So already we talked about a lot of the challenges coming to college in more of a traditional setup. And now here we are during COVID-19 and everything's different, right? So it's really causing people to be creative. And I think some of the benefits of students right now is their use of technology and sort of already being connected and being very savvy with that, you know, whether that be, you know, texting, FaceTime, all the different ways, Instagram, all the different ways people are ready to keep in touch. It's funny, I don't want to date myself, but going back to when I was in college, it was certainly different. So I think the students who are entering now, if you are a traditional age college student, thinking that you already probably have a lot of skills in this area and trying to be creative with that. But certainly, you know, wanting to think about FaceTime, Zoom meetings, Google meetups, whether that be with family, friends, but really trying to make connections outside of the classroom. That could be study groups, that could be, like you said before, joining clubs and organizations and not necessarily having to fully commit to them, but kind of shopping around and seeing what's going to be best for you. The other thing I would really stress is checking in with your school's Department of Student Life, for example. Every college and department right now is transitioning and adapting to everything in this COVID-19 lifestyle. So we're all adjusting, and everybody I can say is working hard to still deliver services for students to try to make it as similar as possible. So just know that, you know, probably whatever college you're at, I know that the folks are working hard, and know definitely at HCC, to try to give students as much of an opportunity for socialization as possible. I would also say too, just the importance of still communicating with your professors, even though, you know, you might not be able to talk with them right after class, still trying to stay connected, because if you need something, again, professors, students, that relationship is very important. And lastly, what I'd say before is really just connecting to the resources on campus. So like I said before, we, you know, counseling centers, career centers, asking friends, asking faculty and staff what's available for you, so that you can kind of then get connected to what you need.
Those are all great ways to stay connected. I think there's going to be lots of opportunities to socialize virtually. We have lots of different tools to do so and to make it, you know, fun. And also, if you're going into school and you don't really have any friends in your class, stay in touch with your friends from high school. I mean, it's oftentimes, you know, you kind of just like chop it off and start new. But I think it's really important that we keep checking in on our friends and we keep utilizing the support networks we already have. Simon and Katie, I know we all got a taste of online classes for the second half of the spring semester. How did you practice self-care after the transition to online classes? And what advice would you give to incoming freshmen?
I think that the biggest thing that can help with the transition, and what I'd really like to stress, is the need for structure, a schedule, a calendar, and just having that mental compartmentalization of this is what I'm doing right now is so important, because it helps you to stay focused and help you to just have some sort of drive. I know for me, after we transitioned, it was the middle of spring break. And so after classes started again, I had little to no motivation to do anything or any homework or go to classes. And so it was really hard getting my motivation up. So another thing that I want to stress is just keeping your motivation up through any means possible. So for me, it was exercise and waking up at the time that I would wake up on campus and dressing up like I would every day for campus, you know, like just like I'm going out normally. And lastly, planning social gatherings, either virtually or socially distant, as long as it's safe, and making sure that you're keeping yourself and others accountable through accountability partners or whatever you need.
Those are great strategies. It's super important to, you know, keep your sleep cycle regular, dress up, keep some structure in your life. I know I struggled with that at the beginning. Katie, what worked for you?
So a lot of what Simon was saying, I, you know, thought was very important in my experience as well. Just having that structure that he talked about. My sleep schedule just completely went out the window when I came back home. But I realized, you know, like I was not feeling well if I slept until 5 p.m. each day. You know, like it doesn't make me feel good. So I ended up, you know, starting to have a more normal sleep schedule, incorporating some physical activity in there and reaching out to my friends. I think that was a big thing when I came back, was I went on social media a lot more, and I thought that was like going to replace my social interaction, but it ended up, you know, it's not really interacting with your friends. It's more just like looking at what they're doing, and it's so much like comparison and look at what they're doing. So I ended up like trying to limit my social media a lot more as I realized that I was getting on that, and also, and just keeping up my social interaction in other ways, like FaceTime or Zoom so that I could actually, you know, have a conversation with someone. And speaking of that, I mentioned earlier that I was using telehealth with my therapist, and so I continue to use that. And I know that that's a big thing that people are using during this time, because there are a lot of resources out there for, you know, just video chatting with a therapist. I know there's apps now, you know, like there's a lot of support out there, and that's really helped me to still keep in touch during this time. And I think the last thing was just having fun and relaxing and realizing that this is not ideal. You know, the situation kind of sucks sometimes, but that's okay. You know, like it won't be like this forever. So really just validating, you know, everything that we're feeling and realizing that things will get better at some point, you know, and hanging in there, enjoying the time that we have right now.
That's super important, you know, acknowledging this kind of sucks, but still being hopeful and understanding, you know, there are better times ahead. Thank you guys so much for joining me, Katie and Simon. Thank you guys. And thank you, Dr. Terpak, for your time and expertise. Before I sign off, I want to share some resources. If you or someone you know is in crisis, call Grassroots Crisis Intervention Center at 410-531-6677. You can also use the National Crisis Text Line by texting HOME to 741-741. There are some great online resources on youth mental health. Check out NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and Active Minds, both of which have really helpful websites and also have chapters of different schools like Katie was talking about. Check to see if your school has a club. Finally, the Jed Foundation has a website called Set to Go, which has tons of resources on preparing for the transition to college and mental health. Thanks again to my guests, and thank you for listening. Stay safe.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.